Sup, freaks, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends down the hall, Unchained. Unchained is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your custody. They have their 2 or 3 multi-sig vault, which is collaborative custody. You hold 2 keys, they hold 1. You eliminate single points of failure by distributing your keys and their backups geographically. You can lose three of the 4 devices and still get access to your Bitcoin. Unchained is always there as a collaborative custody partner to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig transaction if you need them to sign on your behalf. And their whole company revolves around this 2 or 3 multi-sig setup. They have an IRA that you can roll over into, or you can start a Bitcoin IRA with Unchained. So if you're out there, you're looking at the ETFs, you're like, should I buy the Bitcoin ETF? No. You should hold your own Bitcoin in your IRA. Unchained makes it very easy. So if you're thinking about rolling your IRA into Bitcoin, hit up Unchained. Go to unchained.com/consultation. Talk to their team. You'll be able to roll it over, own actual Bitcoin, not Bitcoin IOUs, and then hold your own keys. It's a 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum. You hold 2 keys. Unchained holds 1. It's a beautiful thing. All right, go to unchained.com/consultation. Tell them that Rabbit Hole Recap sent you and get set up today. This report was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite is here building the best hardware in the space. I got this little block clock showing Moscow time right now behind me. It's 1929 in Moscow. It's an inside joke. 1929 sats per cuckbuck. They also make the best Bitcoin wallets, hardware wallets on the market, signing devices. MVK likes to call them signing devices. That's what they are. You got the Mark IV, the MK4, which is the best on the market to date. In this episode, we actually previewed the Q as well, MK4. It's NFC enabled. You create your private public key pairs offline. You can add entropy to your private keys with the roll of dice. It's got an SD card. You do everything offline. You don't touch the internet, so you keep your private keys secure. The Q1 has all the same internal guts as the MK4, but it's got a full keyboard. It's got a QR scanner. It's got a battery pack. It's going to come with a bunch of really cool features. You're going to be able to save your passwords there. You're going to be able to create PSBTs. It's NFC enabled as well. They're building the best hardware out there. Go to coinkite.com. Check it out. Get a block clock. Get a Q1. Get an MK4. Get some SATs cards, some tap signers. It's really sci-fi technology. It's really approachable. Coinkite.com. Try RHR. Try CD, try TFTC. Still don't know if we have a code. Enjoy this rip. Ticky.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
And we got lawyers, guns, and money. Bitcoin death and taxes. I think it rings.
You wanted to put the price in the name too.
Freaks, we're a little late today. We debated on the title of this episode for 15 minutes.
I think we came up with a good one.
Said everyone get on the Bitcoin train.
It's always a good day to get on the Bitcoin train.
It really is. It's a timeless evergreen title here. Bitcoin train's headed past $69,000 right now. A little pump today. Currently up 5.14% on the day, sitting at $69,060 at block height 837,708.
I mean, the meme goal is for hash rate to slow down a little bit and for us to have the halving on 420 and to be at $69,000 Bitcoin, right? Like that's what we're all shooting for here. We just need the price to stay flat. We need hash to slow down, and then we'll enter Valhalla.
Could you imagine the confluence of events? Maybe 69,000, 420, But then April 20th, 2024 is a palindrome date too.
I didn't realize that. Look at that.
420-2024.
It's not a palindrome date.
Yes, it is. Type it out.
420. Oh, shit. Dude, congratulations. Are you excited? Wow, that was such a horrible bottle pop. I just
cautiously optimistic. Cautiously optimistic.
I hate a bad bottle pop, man.
You're two for two in the last 2 weeks.
You see, I'm drinking our shows, Pascal.
Yes.
I think 400 rabbits, 400 canejos.
Canejos.
It's such a bad bottle pop. Someone tell customer service they need a better cork.
I'll try and
yeah, help me out. You have the higher quality mic over there.
Give me a sec. Bottle pop. I'm not going to drink any. Like,
yeah, just do the bottle pop for me.
I have to do a TFTC later today.
The analog sound bar.
Ooh, for all you ASMR freaks.
They have to listen to him take the plastic wrap off. Get on the Bitcoin train.
That was a good one.
There we go. That's what I'm doing over here, but you can't hear it as well. Oh, shit.
It's a good mezcal. It's a very good mezcal. Or reposado.
They have a bunch of different versions. I have the Espadín, Tobaya.
Shout out to long-term OG freak. Won't name his name because he values his privacy. There's a freak who gives us one of these bottles every time he sees us in person.
Yeah, he's a true ride or die.
It's delicious.
And my wife particularly loves him because she's a big mezcal fan. She doesn't really like scotch, so she appreciates all the mezcal donations.
It's probably a good thing. Scotch, big headache, big week. You're talking about hash rate too. Let's jump into Clark's dashboard, and then we'll get into everything going on this week.
Did he upgrade his mempool yet?
Let's check. Going to the dashboard, current price of Bitcoin is 68,870 cuckbucks. We've dumped a little bit since the first time I read the price. One cuckbuck's going to get you 1,452 sats. Market cap Bitcoin is 1.35 trillion. We are block height 837,708 still. We are 948 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget, which is estimated to be an upwards adjustment of 0.8%. We had a negative adjustment of negative 1%. I think that was last week. So hash rate settled in. That last difficulty adjustment happened right before we recorded, so we mentioned that last week. Clark's mempool, still teeny-weeny, 52,668 transactions. If we go over to mempool.space, we'll see that they have more than double that, double the size. Mempool at 118,712 transactions right now. If you're looking to get
transaction. Did you say hash rate slowed down a little bit?
It's leveled off a bit. It's like flat.
There was a bunch of power outages in the States this week.
Was there?
I wonder if that had something to do with it. Yeah, I found a pretty cool site. Shout out to Bitcoin veterans
here.
Go to poweroutage.us. Logan.
Ooh. Pennsylvania, New York. Not a lot of mining states. California.
No, but if you went there 2 days ago, like the whole Midwest, there was a bunch of the Midwest that was out.
A lot of weather radars out.
I just think it's a cool website.
There's a lot of people saying that HAARP is being used around the world right now.
What is being used?
HAARP, the weather weapons.
But it's in addition to the space lasers.
It's part of the arsenal. Yes, you've got
the best part is, like, the blue roofs don't protect you from these.
No, it does not. Yeah, apparently there's a lot of weather radars down across the states as well.
What does it mean?
I don't know. The theory is that you take down the weather radars, they can't catch these very visible trends of HAARP being used. Theories. Just talking about theories here, freaks.
Freaks, self-host your own weather radar.
It's important. Don't trust. Verify. What else do we got here? Back to Clark's dashboard. There are 10,854.46 Bitcoin in unspent capacity in Samurai's Whirlpool. That is 745.2 million cuckbucks in unspent value. Go back to the mempool.space mining. Go to view more on the hash rate. Chart on the right. Yeah, view more. Yeah, you can see here at the top of the chart. Maybe zoom in. Last 2024. Yeah. Yeah, relatively flat the last couple of weeks. Not as much growth.
Zoom out.
I want you to zoom out now.
You can't zoom out farther than that. I wanted like the vertical straight up line.
You get all.
Fucking insane.
It is insane. Do you have this on the list? The Taiwan earthquake? I don't think you do.
No. I figured we'd cover it.
Well, while we're on the subject of hash rate, it's probably the most apt time to cover it. So as I'm sure many of you freaks are aware, there was a large earthquake in Taiwan a couple of days ago, 7.5 magnitude.
And then there was a reverb or whatever that was 7.4.
Yeah.
It's not called reverb. It's whatever they call
aftershock.
It.
Aftershock.
Aftershock. Thank you, Logan. I'm glad we have an earthquake expert here on the show.
His nickname's Quake. Logan, the Quake.
They should call it an echo. Earthquake echo. Since we're a naming show.
Aftershock, like, echo. I like that.
I like echo.
Reverb. Point being, massive earthquake in Taiwan. Taiwan, in the context of Bitcoin, is strategically important because that is where TSMC has a lot of their foundries, where they produce the ASIC chips that Bitmain leverages in their Antminer series of miners. And that's a big question right now, is how...
I think they're not that effective.
It seems to be the case, but there was a 12-hour period where it was unclear. TSMC evacuated
premises. The blue checks were saying like China was going to invade Taiwan during it. There was like 6
warships. There was a lot of HARP talk.
This is when you should be not falling asleep because you're gonna follow this.
I stayed up too late following this. So long story short, TSMC evacuated.
It's not funny. Like some people died, but not many people died.
Yeah.
I think the death toll is 9 people. 800 injured, 9 people.
Very disruptive.
I mean, Taiwan specific, like they're right next to the Ring of Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like where all the earthquakes happen, where a shit ton of earthquakes happen. And Taiwan's a pretty developed economy. So like there was a lot of damage. It was a big fucking earthquake. But they were like well insulated for it. I mean, they have that big ass tower that used to be the largest in the world. It's 101 stories. And they have like this big ass steel ball in it. Like for these exact earthquakes. It like barely even fucking moved during the earthquake.
It's pretty badass. I mean, you have to engineer for this stuff if you're on the Ring of Fire. Speaking of the Ring of Fire, there was an earthquake in Taiwan. There was a 5.4 magnitude earthquake in Ecuador too, which is on the other side of the Ring of Fire down in Latin America.
The other side? A bunch of flat earth freaks just gasp in horror at your comment there.
The other side of the plane. The other side of the plane. The other side of the plane that the Ring of Fire finds itself on. Who knows? I mean, I don't think TSMC's foundries have been materially impacted in the sense that they need to be rebuilt or anything like that. But let's pull up, look, and pull up the TFTC rip with Jan Chapich from Brains. It was actually pretty crazy. Jan and I talked about this exact potential 2 years ago on TFTC here in the studio. And one thing to consider, even if the foundries weren't materially impacted and need to be rebuilt and can be restarted, one thing to keep in mind is if ASICs were being produced as the earthquake was going on, the seismic activity messes up the actual function of the laser layering of these wafer chips.
Yeah, it's like if you were like your record player was running in Taipei, like your record's probably ruined.
Yes. And so if ASICs were being produced, don't know if they were, they could have been disrupted. So you need to start a new batch, hopefully today or at some other point. But we'll play this clip and we'll get into a broader discussion about this risk at this particular level of the Bitcoin stack.
It takes time. Mm-hmm. It's growing. The silicon is growing, the different layers, and you just can't speed it up. The process.
Yeah.
So it's very similar. So you have an estimate when the chip is going to be ready. But if there is, for example, a seismic activity, so like a micro earthquakes in Asia, where some of the foundries are, this affects the process because we're at such small dimensions where we're like any seismic activity. Is it an English word, seismic?
Seismic.
So when the Earth moves, it influences the manufacturing process, and sometimes it screws up the chip, the wafers.
Really?
So they have to redo it, or they have to stop the manufacturing. So it's sort of like weather that has impact on growing crops. Mm-hmm. Here, it's not weather, but like geological processes have effect on manufacturing sometimes.
I'm not saying always. Yeah, and so this is actually pretty eerie that Jan talked about this in the context of that. Particularly part of our conversation was around the idea that the ASIC manufacturers, Bitmain and MicroBT, should be able to hedge their chip production risk with some futures hedging in the case of an event like this where they had ASICs being produced at the time of an earthquake that rendered them useless. They should be able to cover some of that cost with futures contracts that allow them to lock it in, because again, it's yet to be determined. Bitmain hasn't said anything. TSMC hasn't said anything. But there's been large future orders, particularly for the S21 series, that are set to be delivered this summer and this fall. And we'll have to imagine that they were being worked on. So something like an earthquake in Taiwan can have a material effect on the ability to deliver those in a timely manner, which, going back to why this conversation started, could affect overall hash rate growth on the network for a short period of time.
Well, I mean, I think regardless if they do, or I mean, they're probably like there's definitely at least some delay. But regardless, I think we can guarantee that Bitmain will use that as an excuse for why the pre-orders haven't arrived yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was going to be a delay with or without an earthquake. They were going to miss their estimates.
But this highlights the TSMC for Bitmain in Taiwan and the other large manufacturer of ASICs that are pervasive throughout the Bitcoin mining industry are produced by Samsung in South Korea, which isn't too far away. So when you talk about geographic centralization risk in the Bitcoin stack, I mean, the chip production is probably where it's most pronounced. And so you have to imagine if Taiwan is susceptible to earthquake disruptions, South Korea not being as far away has similar risk and something to consider, particularly if you're in the Bitcoin mining industry. And particularly if you're buying futures orders of these machines, something to be aware of. And more broadly speaking, as an industry, it highlights the need to further geographically distribute the production of these chips. Because it's not only concentrated between two foundries or two chip producers in Samsung and TSMC, it's geographically centralized in that area of the world, which is right on the edge of the Ring of Fire.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we've been very consistent on.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's not just ASICs. Like, we shouldn't make all of our shit over there.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the mainstream coverage of TSMC, the effect of the earthquake on TSMC, was focused on NVIDIA and whether or not they'd be able to get their GPUs to market in a timely manner. Fascinating stuff.
The largest shitcoin in the world. NVDA.
But it's also like a great reminder that Bitcoin does have this physical element in the physical world. People, particularly who don't understand Bitcoin, just view it as this digital, ephemeral thing that you can't touch or feel. But Bitcoin has this very stark connection to the physical world via the mining industry. And that connection happens at many different points across the supply chain. And this is the most heavily concentrated and centralized part of that supply chain is the chip production. So agree with you, Rickster. Intel needs to get on board.
I just want to record this for the audio freaks. NVK was giving me shit about my all caps this morning, and he's all caps in the chat right now. So let the record show.
Noted.
Hashtag you can tell he means it.
What was he giving you shit for?
He doesn't like my all caps lifestyle.
Yeah. Almost haven't. Haven't watched in live in forever. When did Marty start bodybuilding?
Yeah, I was going to say, freaks, I love that you're commenting and appreciating Marty's physique, but like, you should zap while you do it. Like, it's an empty compliment if it doesn't include sats. Like, if you go to a strip club, you're going to compliment the stripper and you're not going to give her dollars? Like, what the fuck's going on here? Hey, put your sats behind your words.
This is true. Almost heaven.
Marty will roll up his sleeves if we hit 1 million sats.
If we hit... No, I'm not taking my shirt off.
10 million sats, Marty takes his shirt off.
10 million sats. I'll think about taking my shirt off. We'll decide.
And the chat is turning all caps. I love it. You can join the Noster live stream at rhr.tv/stream. You do not need a Noster account. You can create one on the website in 2 clicks.
Yes.
Do it.
All right. On to the list, and actually a timely first topic on the list pertains to one of the themes of what we just discussed with TSMC, which is centralization risk. And another point of centralization risk is the distros through which code is distributed to download Bitcoin consensus software. And there was a huge backdoor found in XZ tools used by most Linux distros.
The live
week.
Chat is popping off right now. Yeah, dude, this was bad. This is why. I put it first. This is why I put it first. This is like, is
existential.
Nearly worst case scenario for people that are paying attention. This is the type of thing that like nerds freak out about every day. And almost happened in practice. It was a upstream backdoor.
It did happen in practice to a degree. Right?
Well, it was mostly in like the nightly builds, like the alpha beta stuff. And this guy caught it.
Some autist. Thank God for the autist out there. This guy recognized that his SSH login was a half second slower than normal. It was like something.
There was latency. It was using too much compute. And he like fucking investigated and he stopped the release from happening. This could have been devastating. And it's one of the reasons why reproducible builds are so important. But this backdoor involved, you know, 3 years of work. 3 years of work, malicious actor contributing to open source project that was included in pretty much every Linux distro. And included in a bunch of different other packages, and involves SSH, which is the main way people securely, or they believe securely, connect into any other machine or server. So like this is a pretty sophisticated attempt to compromise a ton of the fucking internet. And it got stopped at the final hour. It got stopped like right before the train left the tracks. Pretty crazy.
Very crazy. Shout out to the autist who could not deal with this half second delay in his SSH login.
Dude, the world is on the precipice of chaos on the back of autists everywhere. So thank you for your service.
Yes. And I mean, this does highlight the adversarial nature of Bitcoin core development specifically. And this is something that you mentioned it in passing, but should be highlighted. This is an attack vector that many Bitcoin developers have thought through and have attempted to thwart off preventatively via something like Geek's reproducible builds. What I'm not sure is whether like a Geek's reproducible build would have helped in this scenario.
Well, it would have helped anyone who built it themselves.
Yes.
Because the compromise, the final piece of the compromise happened in the build process itself.
Mm.
And so like if you have the reproducible builds, it's more likely that an autist will notice it.
Yeah.
They don't have to rely on latency and see like compute issues to see that there's an issue. But it's the bigger highlight, I think, is the fact that this is a classically theorized supply chain attack, where you attack a project that is a dependency of another project that has a maintainer, right? That is not active in the project anymore. And there aren't that many eyes on that particular piece of code, but it's relied on by a lot of code downstream. This is why like secure software should have as very few dependencies as possible, because every dependency increases the attack surface. It's why we need to have reproducible builds, and it's why we need to support our autists. And this is why people should support open source contributors, regardless if they see direct benefit from it, you will get indirect benefit from it. And in Bitcoin land, that means billions of dollars can be on the line. Trillions of dollars can be on the line. And you're a fucking idiot if you're holding billions of dollars of Bitcoin and you're not supporting the open source maintainers that are making sure your shit is secure.
Yeah, this is really bad. So if this were to have been pushed live, it would have allowed unauthorized access to any of these systems. Somebody could have remote
anything
logged in and just done whatever they wanted.
Whatever the fuck they wanted.
You think this was a government attack?
I think it was the Chinese.
You think so?
Yeah, but I don't know. You don't know. I mean, it was multiple fucking years. It also could have just been an autist. Like a black hat autist, but I think it was probably a sophisticated actor.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So to me, like it's probably CCP.
I hear a lot of people saying Nix is a solution to this.
I mean, Nix is focused on reproducibility is like the core foundation of Nix.
Yeah. Be aware.
I mean, I think, you know, it is, there is no solution, only trade-offs. And, you know, we just gotta make everything as robust as possible. I mean, you could be personally running Nix, right? And like, if this wasn't caught, like there could have been like just complete chaos all around you. Like, does it really matter that you were personally running Nix? Probably not.
Probably not. Shout out to number one, the autist who found this, and then shout out to Carl Dong.
We should have included autism in the title. We fucked that up. Too bad you can't go back and change it afterwards.
Autism saves the day again. Shout out to Carl Dong and everybody who contributed to the Geek's reproducible builds for Bitcoin Core 2.
Which, by the way, is spelled Gwix.
G-U-I-X.
But it's pronounced
Geeks.
Geeks.
And it does give me some form of comfort that Bitcoin developers are that adversarial and are thinking that far ahead. Like, this was something that I think Carl began working on. We were still in New York, so it had to be like 2018, 2019. And something like this didn't materialize until 2024. So forward thinking, adversarial thinking, very important. Bitcoin is a very important software project. It is an open source software project that demands contribution from developers to audit the code, to test the code, to write new code, and to make sure that the systems that Bitcoin is dependent on, in this case, a distribution system, is not allowing people to do nefarious things with people running Bitcoin software.
Yeah, I'm seeing some speculation in the comments, so I'm just going to come out and say it. Yes, I believe Saylor is a fucking dumbass for not supporting open source contributors. I hope that was clear enough for you.
This is why. This is why. Perfect example. On to more disconcerting news. Argentina creates a mandatory registry for Bitcoin service providers operating in the country. This is in reaction.
This is your boy. What happened, Marty?
I said I was cautiously optimistic. The cautiously being the most important part of that two-word phrase.
Get your boy in line, Marty. What did you call him up?
I tried to. He did not answer. I just texted him. I said, "Not great to see. This is not great to see."
Mr. Javier, if you're listening right now, what the fuck? You're welcome to join us on the podcast.
Back. Bending the knee to the Financial Action Task Force, the demons out of FATF, an unelected group of supranational regulators that put forth these guidelines, and these countries just adopt them. This is another great case of an unelected institution that is able to say, oh, we're not regulators, we're just putting guidelines. But as we've said throughout the years, the Financial Action Task Force will put these guidelines out and they'll quickly be adopted by member countries. And so Argentina is the latest. And so they sent out a warning, I believe, in early March and said, hey, you have to comply with this by the middle of April. And so I think what you can see in here in the No BS Bitcoin article that we have up is that some companies began applying this regulation to their services, which has made them unable to be compatible with others. So we have an email from Strike about their Send Globally partner in Argentina that decided that they cannot operate with Strike because of their compliance with this regulation.
What a shame. Argentinians are getting fucked.
So is this only for businesses or... do individual Bitcoiners have to register?
No, it's for businesses right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the first step is lists of businesses. Always.
Registry.
And they can we just talk about the photo Nobleship Bitcoin used for a second?
Yeah, pull it up.
Like, I feel like it's just, it's kind of a baller photo. Very mafioso.
It's a very ornate room. Very ornate.
He's looking straight at me, you know?
Sort of looks like a serpent. And it is disconcerting. Somebody screaming free market will rule the day. It's very weird because he's been adamant about cutting government programs and government's getting in the way of everything. La Fuera. And this is completely counter to the posturing from Malay since he was elected.
Yep. Governments are not going to save us, freaks. We're going to have to save ourselves.
Yes. Did you read the Mark Goodwin Whitney Webb piece?
No.
It's pretty good.
Why didn't you send it to me?
It just came out this morning. I've been busy.
I get most of my information from Signal DMs now. You're supposed to send it to me.
But I highly recommend it. It's a long read. I think tens of thousands of words. It took me like 45 minutes to read it. But very much in line with this in the sense that, but applied to carbon credits, they have.
Is it about carbon credits?
Carbon credits, but Bitcoin plays into it. Apparently, Rootstock, the Bitcoin sidechain that's been around, they finally found product market fit. Apparently, they're going to be the issuer of carbon credit smart contracts that.
On Bitcoin?
On a Bitcoin sidechain.
Carbon credits smart contracts on Bitcoin.
You're going to love this.
This is 1031's edge, by the way, is that all the venture funds are going to give them millions of dollars. And we just won't. Like, that's our edge.
It's not happening. You'll love to hear this. Elon satellites play into it as well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the satellites. The satellites, they may have space lasers on them. We don't know. I imagine if they did, they would be like a nuclear option. Like, hey, we need the space lasers. Deploy them. But the satellites are going to basically take images of the world in real time and then basically account for carbon in any given place. And then they're going to be able to distribute these carbon credits via these sidechains based off this information. Yeah.
Oh, God. Remember when you called Pete Clown World?
Well, this is
you're so far from the top.
This is when you read it and you understand the things they're trying to combine. It's like, number one, like, how can you ever account for carbon via like satellite imaging? Like, I just don't understand how that's possible. Maybe I'm just too dumb. Maybe it is possible, but it seems far fetched to me. That's one problem. And then you're combining. So for people who are unaware.
Like what they're, how they're basing that off of?
Yeah, I think so. And what they're combining it with. So for those who are unaware of what Rootstock is a sidechain that's been on Bitcoin for probably even 7-8 years now at this point.
I think it has like decent usage in LATAM.
Yes, big like push in LATAM.
Like stablecoin, quote unquote DEXs, stuff like that.
Yeah, so they forked Ethereum's EVM, put it on the sidechain. So it's a fork of the original Ethereum virtual machine that leverages Solidity, which is historically a completely insecure scripting language. So you're combining the satellite imagery, which I'm very skeptical can actually provide accurate data on the carbon being emitted at the Earth level.
Do you think you get worse?
With the virtual machine.
Less tokens?
Excuse me?
If you have a blue roof, you think you get less tokens if you have a blue roof?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Maybe that's the algorithm.
Maybe. You're combining that.
So EVM plus.
Satellites, EVM, smart contract, carbon credits. So you have like, they're going to run into this problem where they're either going to have like an EVM bug, which fucks up the smart contract, or. What I imagine is going to happen is going to be a legal dispute with like the satellite's the oracle. It's like, so like like you're feeding the oracle data from the satellite to the smart contract and distributing carbon credit funds commensurately based off that oracle data. And all it's going to take is for one autist to be like, this oracle data is fucked. Like these contracts don't make any sense. And then the whole thing falls on its face.
I think none of this really matters. They have the bullet points that can get them real VC money.
Yes.
It's a scam all the way down.
Yeah. I just got yelled at by my wife.
Why?
It was like 60 degrees this morning in Austin. We're in that time of year where it's like 55 to 60 in the morning and gets up to 80 by the afternoon. She's like, he needs a sweatshirt. Going to school. I was like, nah, he'll be fine. And then the school sent a picture of him wearing a random sweatshirt. She's like, I knew he should have been.
I love it. You're Murray. What the fuck, man? You should have sent him with a sweatshirt.
That's on me. The wife is always right. I've learned this lesson too many times.
Also, just like in general, it's good to have a sweatshirt with you.
It is. Sorry, baby.
What's the worst that can happen? You don't wear it?
Yeah. You lose it. Next on the list.
If the guys at Rootstock are listening, like send some Rootstock sweatshirts to Marty, ideally in child sizes. His child needs a sweatshirt.
Please, sir. I'll make sure he doesn't emit too much carbon.
And then next week, you know, we'll be nicer to rootstock because Marty's got some child rootstock sweatshirts.
Finally in. They found product market fit.
Yeah, at least in VC circles. Dude, I don't think the freaks realize like how much shit. Like the amount of times we talk to prospective investors and we're like, no, you just invested in an Infinity scam is just too damn high. Like the Bitcoin layer two bullshit. And like, I mean, rootstock is like this merge mining thing that's not secure. Most of these things are basically just VC slides on top of a multisig. It's fucking insane. Like hundreds of millions of dollars is just being deployed in absolute bullshit.
Garbage.
Yeah. Once again, that's our advantage.
Yes.
It sucks for retail. Like a lot of retail will be scammed this cycle.
It sucks for retail and it sucks for like legitimate Bitcoin businesses that are doing things that are desperately needed.
They have like no money.
Not flashy enough.
Like eating fucking ramen. All they had to do was like come up with a slide that was like, we are going to put space lasers on the blockchain and they just would have made bank. Instead, they try and build real shit.
Yeah. That's our edge. Low time preference. We mentioned it in the beginning of the show. Who knows whether or not.
Sad, so Marty can buy a sweater for his child.
Please, sir. Please. He's cold. My wife's berating me. Bitmain launches the Antminer S21 Pro series. Pretty impressive specs on this. Let's see if they materialize in practice. This is a 15 joules per terahash machine producing 234 terahash per second. They're selling at $18.9 a T after the coupon. And they're looking at delivery date of Q3, Q4, 2024. So Bitmain pumping out extremely efficient ASICs, the S21. Just the vanilla S21 series came out at the end of last year. I believe that was 17.5 joules per terahash. So this is a bit more efficient at 15 joules per terahash. And as I mentioned, these are the specs. We'll see if the actual performance once they plug in matches with these specs, but recent Bitcoin series launch or Bitmain series launches have been near the specs, so I think it's safe to assume that they'll be somewhere in this ballpark, which these things are getting extremely energy dense, which is insane.
They need to fire whoever came up with that tagline.
What?
Create a new level of hash rate. What the fuck does that even mean?
English isn't their first language.
Yeah, clearly. Just do no tagline.
Can you say that in Mandarin?
I know.
What would you say in Mandarin?
Not only can I not say it in Mandarin, I will never say it in Mandarin.
$27 a T before the coupons. Yeah, so these are future orders. It would be interesting to see if, they announced this earlier this week, I believe on Sunday. And this earthquake happened on Wednesday, so.
Sorry, delays. There's been delays.
Q2 2025, maybe.
There's an all caps fundraiser for Mari's son's sweatshirts in the Nostra live chat right now. Kind of awesome. Best timeline.
I appreciate it. You're fundraising for me to take my shirt off earlier in the episode. Now we're fundraising to put a sweatshirt on myself.
10 million sats, we'll put a sweatshirt on this child.
If we get 10 million sats, I'll buy him the best sweatshirt he's ever seen. All right. I keep going to Slack. The list isn't in Slack anymore. Still getting used to this.
Signal the standard.
Something, another unfortunate thing to see, not due to bull Bitcoin, but the regulations in Canada. Bull Bitcoin's in-person Bitcoin purchases via the Canadian Post are now going to require identity verification for those who have been following along with Bull Bitcoin's business model for the last couple of years. They incorporated the ability to go to post offices around Canada and purchase Bitcoin without having to give your ID. But it seems like the Canadian regulators are not like that. And so now if you do buy Bitcoin at the post offices throughout Canada, you're going to have to show your ID.
You have till April 15th. So go to your local post office and ape the fuck in.
Yes.
That is, you have 11 days. Empty the bank account, straight to the post office, and buy as much Bitcoin as you can afford. No KYC.
Yeah. In the press release from Bull Bitcoin, this decision is entirely out of our hands and was mandated to us as a condition to continue offering the account funding service at Canada Post. We understand that this adds a level of friction to the previously flawless user experience that Bull Bitcoin was offering. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause.
And Francis further clarified, essentially, they'll do the KYC on Bull Bitcoin side. You like go to the website, do the KYC, and then you have to show your ID at the Canada Post. And what the fuck, guys? You announced it on April 1st. Well, worst day. For sure it was an April Fool's joke. And then I realized it wasn't.
I'm tired of April Fools.
It's
gotten so weak.
We should just remove April 1st from the calendar. And then we just won't even have to deal with it.
This just add an extra day.
They're not even jokes. It's just fake news.
Yeah.
It's just fucking fake.
We used to do April Fool's big in my house growing up. My mom got really into it. Like, she'd make cups of Jell-O we thought were juice. Wake up thinking we're drinking Hawaiian punch and like go to take a sip and it's Jell-O. It doesn't go through the straw.
I mean, if you're traumatizing your children, that's like one thing. Like, that's, I'm cool with that. But like the internet April Fool's is bad.
It's terrible. There was one year where my brother and I...
Internet ruined April Fool's.
In middle school, my brother and I woke up really early and had an April Fool's master plan that was incredibly flawlessly executed. We had two bathrooms in the house that we were living in at the time. We knew my dad was going to wake up first. And we put shaving cream on the one toilet seat in the one bathroom, and he went and sat down, got shaving cream on his ass, was all pissed off, ran down the hall to the other bathroom and went to take a piss standing up, thinking that there would be shaving cream on that. We've had put saran wrap in the toilet. In the other toilet. When he was finally able to take his piss.
I like that.
Yeah, that was a good one. He's thinking, you're like, he wakes up and is tired.
You destroyed that man's morning. Yeah. You destroyed his morning. But inside there was a little bit of pride, you know, like he was proud of you guys.
Yeah. Smart thinking. Knew he was going to sit down on this toilet, shaving cream on ass, afraid to sit down. Next toilet, I'm going to stand up and pay their saran wrap.
So I'm going to ask the question all the freaks are wondering. Like, what was your mom's reaction to that?
She was giggle fitting.
She loved it. There you go. Yeah. It was a win.
Yeah. Yeah. Coinbase hired a Lightning engineer finally. It's a whole company.
It only took them 25 years.
This is big news this week. Coinbase announced the partnership with Lightspark for their Lightning Network integration. Long time coming. I believe Brian Armstrong said it probably around this time last year that they would implement Lightning. They would look into it.
One of the oldest companies in the space, one of the most valuable companies in the space, and they had to hire the new coiner suits from Facebook to set up Lightning for them.
Yeah,
it's sad every way you cut it, except for the fact that like you can't ignore Lightning. So all the Lightning haters out there, $60 billion company knows they have no choice but to integrate Lightning. So they'll pay for
it. I heard Lightning failed though. Nobody uses it.
I honestly have not heard that.
Oh yeah, you're not on Twitter officially anymore.
I mean, but even when I was on Twitter, Udi preemptively blocked me so that I couldn't respond to him. So it's hard to hear about it if you're not blocked. If you're blocked,
I think.
But yeah, I did, Marty. I deleted my Twitter account.
Would Satoshi have done that?
Don't give me this "would Satoshi have done" bullshit. I don't think Satoshi would have supported WeChat of the West. And Twitter's not fucking Bitcoin. I'll never turn my back on Bitcoin.
It's true. It's true. All right. Anything else to say on this Coinbase Lightspark partnership? It is fascinating that they couldn't figure out how to do it themselves.
I mean, it's good for Lightning, I guess. I like being able to deposit via Lightning. Because the exchange doesn't have any UTXO history and it's instant and you don't have to deal with mempool fees.
Yeah.
So if they enable Lightning deposits, I think that's a really big deal. I think at the end of the day, like David Marcus's big claim to fame is failing to launch a Facebook CBDC and then adding compliance to the Lightning address standard, which is basically like a text field with like your home address, whatever the fuck he proposed. So, like, I kind of don't believe that they're going to enable Lightning deposits. But until then, like, River and Strike have them enabled. So you can move with your feet or you can wait for them to implement. And we'll see if it happens. Yeah. I wonder, I mean, based on, like, the pricing page of Lightspark, like, I wonder how much Coinbase paid them. They're a public company, so I think we'll find out.
I don't know that their financial statements need to be that itemized. Probably be able to deduce like operational expenses.
Once again, we're relying on the autists. Yeah. It's just the whole world just relies on the autists.
And this move wouldn't surprise me if it was encouraged by A16Z, which is heavily invested in both companies. And it's typically their modus operandi in this space, at least.
Yeah, you're probably right. The suit's going to suit.
Casa acquires Applied Cryptography Team Chamber.
The reason I put this on the list is because, first of all, I've never heard of Chamber. But it seems highly relevant because I assume some freaks are using Casa services. And two of the main guys at Chamber are now exec team. The CTO and the COO now of Casa are these Chamber people. So be aware. I don't know who they are. I don't know anything about them. I probably should have done a little bit more research before the show. But it seemed relevant. I don't use Casa, so if you use Casa, you can do the research.
Beware, freaks. Beware. On to better news. Tether has awarded a $100,000 grant to BTC Pay Server Foundation.
This is great to see. Thanks for supporting open source contributors, Tether.
You got to do something with all that money.
Yeah, I mean, despite the conspiracy theories, I make zero money from OpenSats. It's literally just all I receive from OpenSats is headaches and bullish vibes. That's my motivation for working on OpenSats. And I don't care if you support through OpenSats. OpenSats is here to make it easy for people to support, but I just want to see more support for open source contributors. And the reason why like Ben and I launched, Ben Price of the Bitcoin company launched OpenSats was because we saw too little of it. And we wanted to be the change we see in the world. So we went down the fucking insane fucking rabbit hole of launching a 501c3 in the corrupt bureaucracy that is America. But now it's incredibly easy to support open source contributors. So you should do it. So I will commend anyone who does that. And I love to see Tether doing that. If you have massive bags of Bitcoin, it is in your best interest to support open source contributors. Particularly if you are spending, if you have any kind of American domicile business and you're paying the American tax man, you can get a fucking tax credit for it too. So it doesn't really cost you anything. So fucking do it. Thank you, Tether. We appreciate it.
Shout out to Tether.
I mean, that's a royal we.
Uncle Rockstar had to say, I'm thankful to Tether for recognizing BTC Pay Server's significance as a Bitcoin FOSS project and for its generous grant. This contribution greatly empowers us to concentrate on our mission, enabling anyone to accept Bitcoin unhindered by geographic, political, or financial barriers. Shout out to BTC Pay Server.
I see someone in the live chat talking
your
shit
suit.
About 1031 and calling me a suit. Look, there, I take zero shame in supporting Bitcoin businesses. Like, we support 36 of the best Bitcoin businesses in the world. They have trouble getting money. They have trouble getting support. They have trouble getting good advice. And I'm happy that Marty, me, Jonathan, Grant, John Arnold, we have a small team at 1031, can support them. And you can go fuck yourself. Like, I do not give a shit. And this is why I was able to delete Twitter, because I just don't fucking care about Twitter. Twitter doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. We are going to continue to support Bitcoin businesses. I'm going to continue to help support open source projects through OpenSats. And 1031 also supports through OpenSats, which is fucking dope. More VCs should do that. And I just don't fucking give a shit.
You just got played.
What?
The YouTube chat was trying to see if you were reading the YouTube chat, and they goaded you into responding to a YouTube chat comment.
Yeah, I look at both the Nostra chat and the YouTube chat, even when I'm on a low bandwidth connection abroad. You call me. I don't trust Verify.
You just got got. You just got.
Dude, one of the funniest fucking things I heard after deleting my Twitter was like, oh, like Odell's just trying to hide from his 1031 investments. You know, the other thing is like, it's not 1031. OpenSats is fucking charitable. Like, it is literally 100% passed through charitable organization. You donate to the Red Cross, they take like 50-60% for like exec salaries. OpenSats takes nothing. 1031 is not fucking charitable. We are going to make a shit ton of fucking money on 1031.
You're charitable as well.
That's what it is. No, but it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't, like, you think that we're hurting being invested in the best Bitcoin businesses in the world? Are you even a fucking Bitcoiner? Like, are you, a fucking bear? Like, you think Bitcoin businesses are going to do bad in the next 10 years? Who the fuck are you? Just think about it.
Just think about it. Bullish. Yeah, I'm extremely bullish.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, I'll never back away or shy away from that shit. And like, honestly, I'll respond to any fucking criticism you want. You're just going to have to do it on Nostr now.
He got you. The software update of the section is coming up next. But before we get to that, we got to read the top four boosts from Rabbit Hole Recap 298. Matt worded this one poorly to make it seem like he named it SBF gets 25 years in jail with Marty and Odell.
We fucked that one up. We're not going to jail with SBF. This is why we spent 20 minutes on the shitty ass fucking title of this week.
Could you imagine being in a cell with that dude? Just the three of us?
No, that would be a very long 25 years.
Yeah, I don't want that.
You think he would definitely be a Bitcoiner by the end of it, though? The two of us and him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he'd have clarity of mind, no access to amphetamines.
Maybe like the last 22 years, we'd just agree on everything. Because it was just, how many years would it take us to?
Yeah, after like, it probably goes through like 3 months of severe amphetamine withdrawal and then have some mental clarity on the back end of it. And we'd be like, all right, bro, here we go. I remember this video of you on CNBC trying to explain proof of work. You got it completely wrong. Let's walk through the basics here. Proof of work consensus in a distributed network. Why does it exist? Why do we exist? To bring you freaks the news in Bitcoin. We feel extremely fortunate that you guys get value out of it and send it back to us in the form of boost via podcasting 2.0. Top boost from RIP 298 from the Bitcoin Yogi 52,225 sats palindrome boost. Sup, Austin freaks. Join the Austin Bitcoin Club on Sunday, April 21st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sapien Center to celebrate the Bitcoin halving. Ring in Bitcoin's fifth epoch with a meat-heavy brunch from Chef Johnny. Hop in the cold plunge and sauna and hear from Matthew Lysiak, author of Fiat Food. Matthew and Parker Lewis will be signing books in our Bitcoin market. RSVP on meetup.com and buy your $21 tickets via Zaprite. Bitcoin is preferred. Will you be celebrating with us, Marty? I didn't read that last sentence until right now. I'm not sure. I'm going to be in New York.
What the fuck?
18th, 19th. I think I'm coming back to 20th, depending on if I can sneak out of the house after missing a weekend for business travel in New York. I will be there.
Probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm just going to just blame Odell. Be like, Matt told me I shouldn't.
Yeah.
You don't have to blame your wonderful wife. You can just, I don't think you should do it.
Okay. You heard that, baby. I'm not going. At Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats.
Great advice. Thank you, Eric.
At ThinkSats boosted 20,000 sats. Appreciate the show, guys. Unlock the flavor at zap.cooking, where your culinary creation earns you zaps. Hashtag zapvertising. Hashtag Noster. Zapvertising? I don't like that one. I'm not a big
zapvertiser. I also hate hashtags. Yeah. I don't like hashtags. But yeah, we're at the forefront of whatever you want to call zapvertising. We're like, I mean, especially on meetups where people just put their meetups in to get the highest apps, but at least it's a free market. And it's way below market value. Like, let's be like, how much did he pay?
20,000 sats.
Yeah. Like that's, are you kidding me? It's worth at least 2 million sats.
At least. At Blockchain Boog, 5,000 sats. Support Bitcoin businesses. He sent this over 24 hours ago.
You know it's Boog, right?
That's Boog. How do you spell Booger? Booger, two G's or two O's?
I always thought it was pronounced Boog. It's not Booger. That's not, it doesn't stand for Booger.
I think it's Booger without the ER.
Okay. Well, what did he say? I got distracted.
Support Bitcoin businesses.
It's a good idea. You should consider it.
Consider it. Ivan, unfortunately for you, Cum Rocket did not show up this week. So some random meetup at some place in the world is not getting advertised this week.
Isn't it Boogie? Like Boogie? Boogie.
I'm going with Boog. I've been reading it that way for months now. Potentially years.
Potentially years. I think it's been years, yeah. You can verify.
Back to the list. Software updates. Bitcoin Core version 26.1 has been released with bug fixes and performance improvements. Go check that out if you're running Bitcoin Core, which you should be if you want to not trust to verify. Mutiny Wallet version 0.6.1 has been released. Major release for these guys. It's got a new home screen. Nostra profile set up, a federation discovery and recommendations aspect as well. So this is probably the biggest overhaul of the app since it launched last year. I was playing around with it. It's really cool. I love the combination of Nostra for contacts, Nostra for social web of trust, recommendations for federations, fediments. And
yeah, I think that's a cool idea, right? Yeah. Which is this idea that, okay, like fediments bring a lot of advantages. You don't have to deal with liquidity. You have really good privacy from the custodians. The custodians are harder to rug you because it's a multi-sig. But you still have the issue of trust, right? And so the ideal situation is that a user comes in, and if they are going to use a multi-sig custodian, they get to choose which multi-sig custodian they're going to use. And how are they going to choose that? And they really should choose that based on some kind of recommendation system, web of trust style system. And how are you going to do that in an open way? Enter Nostr. It's the way to do that, right? And so I think they're onto something with that.
Yes.
And it's just beautiful. Look how gorgeous it is. Like, you can see in this gorgeous interface that Marty rarely zaps. And you can see who zaps and who doesn't. And it's just beautiful.
That's bullshit. Let's see.
Marty, have you zapped today?
I'm not.
Finally, honesty.
I'm going to go on and zap a random... Yeah, I'm going to zap Tony right now.
Marty, I can't wait to like be at like Thanksgiving with your grandkids and then just be like, you just like you made our family zap so much more because you're just pressuring Grandpa Marty into zapping back in the 20s.
I just zapped. Just
gonna feel bad about it.
Tony, enjoy my zap. I zapped without reading your note, and it was a pretty controversial note. So
there's no zap shaming. I feel bad for zap shaming you. I'm sorry, Marty. You can zap what you want to zap.
Zap shaming.
But to be fair, like I have zapped a lot.
I have. I'm zapping more. I'm zapping more. I'm also using social media less. So
that's good. Did you delete your Twitter yet?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm leading by example.
With my blue checking.
You deleted your Twitter or not, as someone who deleted my Twitter.
I'm going to tell you, the blue check privilege to be able to DM other blue checks is pretty good. Look, especially if we all know
it's like best case scenario for you that you got your little free blue check with no guilt. You didn't have to verify for it. Congratulations.
Felt good.
I think there's a little conspiracy there. I'm surprised your roof's not blue yet.
How do you know that?
Is your roof blue yet?
No. Keeping on the software update list, Fediment version 0.3.0 has been released with improved version compatibility, new features, and fixes. BTC Pay Server version 1.13.0 has been released with server branding, invite new users via email link, new roles, and more. Label base is really cool. Version 2.0.0 has been released with a self-hosted option, automated output management, and seamless synchronization and more. So from what I understand, LabelBase allows you to label transactions without being dependent on wallet software. This is sort of an external software that allows you to do this.
Yeah, and it uses the same standard that Craig Raw created with Sparrow. Yes. Look, labels are important. You want to know where your UTXOs came from. So when you spend them later, you know what kind of private information you're disclosing. So label your transactions first and foremost. Back up your labels because your seed does not back up your labels. Label base is a cool project. And that's why we cover it.
Yes, it is. Another cool project, BISC version 2.0.2 has been released with fixes and improvements. BDK Bitcoin Development Kit version 1.0.0 Alpha 8 has been released. Support BDK and the developers.
Steve Meyer, one of the leaders of the BDK project, runs our bit devs in Nashville, and I fucking love that dude.
Shout out to him and his brother.
Richard.
Nunchuck up. Dates, new onboarding flow, consolidate coins, and create hot wallets. And I believe you can do QR PSBTs with Cold Card Q now as well.
I assume you can do it with any QR capable, or did they add BBQR specifically, which is Cold Card spec?
I believe I saw this. I could have dreamed this. Did I dream this?
I mean, a cool part of Nunchuck is that you can export all this shit to Sparrow, which is the software that I actually rely on tremendously. I think the future is mobile for a lot of people, for billions of fucking people. They're going to do a mobile first experience. So I love seeing Nunchuck improve and iterate over time.
Yes, it is. I mean, this is very timely.
Yeah, every day is saying in caps lock, so you know he means it. That it's not cold card specific, it's public domain. Anyone can implement their new and improved QR scanning spec, BBQR.
Yes. Speaking of cold card, Q1 firmware version 1.1.
By the way, MBK, I don't know if you noticed, I don't read your comments unless they're caps. So keep them coming.
Cold card Q1 firmware version 1.1.0 is available.
So this is really big. Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's on this SD card I'm holding in my fingers too.
I was hanging out with MBK and he gives me the beta version of, he gives me like the testing version of the Q1. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Like I have the QR code. Like I can scan a receive address and make sure that it's like actually one of my receive addresses. He's like, oh no, that feature doesn't exist yet. Now the feature exists. That's fucking huge. That's a reason why I would use the Q1 over the MK4. As an MK4 maxi myself, like I really like the form factor of the MK4. That's a massive advantage that you can just scan an address. So like Sparrow, right? Like you're using Sparrow as like your terminal, right? Like the way to interact with your cold card, and it shows a receive address. How do you know that receive address is actually one of your receive addresses? You should verify it in the address explorer. On the MK4 or even the queue, like you're going down the list of the address explorer to make sure that's in the address. Now with the queue, you can just scan it with this little laser barcode scanner and it'll tell you it's an address or not. It's an address that you control or not. And I think that is really huge. That is a very easy UX way of verifying receive address.
Yeah, I can confirm because I actually did this exact UX flow the other day.
Why are you holding an SD card?
Because this has cold cards Q version 1.1.0 on it.
That's got the firmware on it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, the whole point here is that you don't have to use the SD card to verify the receive address. But
No, but I need to upload the firmware to the device. Yeah, and so good. I needed this SD
that's
card.
Impressive.
And I did actually test out the exact Sparrow flow that you just described, and it worked flawlessly. I was testing a transaction using the device, and I'd done Nunchuck's NFC signing, and I hadn't tried out the BBQR PSBT, and so I was like, all right, let me try this out with Sparrow, and it worked flawlessly.
Now that everyone knows that I do read the YouTube chat, which, by the way, we use Ecamm to stream these chats. We use Ecamm to record Rabbit Hole Recap and broadcast it live, to regardless of where we are in the world. That's how we're able to do it every week. And it includes the YouTube chat. So I like literally cannot hide the YouTube chat. I'm not like signed into YouTube to view it. I sign into ZapStream to view the Nostr chat. Like I go out of my way to view the Nostr chat because that's the important chat. But I see someone in the YouTube chat saying they donated $1,000 to OpenSats, BTC, WAGMI, Bitcoin, we're going to make it, which we are. I like 100% donate to OpenSats. Like that's a great way to support the show, is to just straight up donate to OpenSats. Obviously, we get no cut from that. But if you do support via Podcasting 2.0, automatically 5% goes directly to OpenSats. So keep that in mind.
Beware, freaks. This update list is long. Bitcoin Brainbow, terrible name. Version 0.1.150.
I think this is a good name.
No, is it Brainbow? No.
It's for brain wallets.
What does a rainbow have to do with this? I don't know.
I mean, rainbows are good. Look at the logo. I kind of like the logo.
I like the logo. The name, though, it's like, eh.
It's a Brainbow.
Is this like a Brains?
It's like a rainbow.
Is this a Brain subsidiary? I feel like Brains is like, this is very confusing.
Oh, they so sort of Brains have, like has the exclusive rights.
They have
on
similar. Look, go up, Logan. Look at the logo. It's very similar font. Very, like, it's suspicious.
Let's see the Brains. Pull it up.
Pull up Brains.
But anyway, people shouldn't be using Brain wallets. But Brainbow is kind of cool if you're crossing the borders.
You're okay with the name and not the product.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, pretty much. Unless you're crossing borders. If you're crossing borders, and they're trying to do it in the most responsible way possible. They try and warn you if you have low entropy, which, by the way, that's not an easy thing to solve. Look, they look completely different, bro.
That B is exactly the same.
It's a B. It's just a fucking B.
Not all bees have that little overhang, okay?
I don't see it.
Okay. All right.
And their brains has one eye, not two eyes.
Yeah, I always thought the two eyes was a little.
Brains with two eyes.
Brains.
But yeah, I don't know. I think if you're in a hostile environment and you're crossing a border, like that's exactly when a brain wallet makes sense, because you can get completely strip searched. Everything can be searched. They can search your body. They won't find shit. And then you move it to a more secure wallet afterwards. That's when it makes sense. And that's what they're focusing on. This is like hostile border crossing type of situation. And let's be honest, like I think hostile border crossing situations are going to become more common, unfortunately. And we should cross borders in non-hostile environments as much as possible. Until then, take advantage of it. But yeah, it's going to become more common.
Brainbow, there to help you cross borders with your seed in your brain.
Apply directly to the forehead.
All right, moving along. Zeus version 0.8.3 beta 1 is available for testing. For testing out the beta for Zeus. Liana version.
Do you like Zeus's typeface?
Yeah, symmetric.
So I feel like symmetric? I don't know. It says Zeus.
It's provocative, you know.
And like having Zeus in the background is like really aggressive. Like he's just staring at us.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I dig it.
I like the aesthetic.
We support it. Continue.
Great name.
Zeus is a good name. I rely on Zeus every day. Thank you, Evan and team, for building Zeus. There's no better way to connect back to your full node, your full Lightning node.
Okay. Liana version 5.0 has been released with cold card and experimental taproot support.
Liana's awesome. Check it out.
Yes. If you want to test out Miniscript, you can do that with Liana. Beware. You can foot gun yourself pretty easily with Miniscript if you don't know what you're doing.
That's true.
Unchained iOS app has launched. It's a beautiful app. You know what I like about it? It like sends you updates.
I mean, I haven't installed it, but
okay, I get my key check updates, I get the Bitcoin price updates.
It's good to see an app. It's definitely a big deal. Like I think people want apps. People want mobile first, you know?
Yes. Wrong one. Oh, God. Now I got to read more again. Bitcoin Keeper version 1.2.1 has been released with Taproot wallet support. NDK version 2.6.0 has been released with improved outbox models, relay selection, and other improvements.
So if you're following Nostr, like the outbox model is this idea that you can publish to whatever relays you want to publish to, and clients will realize which relays you're posting to and they'll check those relays. I had essentially a Nostr dev call on Scylla Dispatch about this. So check it out.
Consider it. Check it out. Staying on the Nostr updates, Primal Android version 0.96.10 and iOS version 1.4.7 have been released.
Oh yeah, I tried to, on the Scylla Dispatch, I tried to get them to change the outbox model name to the Humble Protocol. But I was vetoed. It's a good name.
The Humble Protocol.
The new Primal updates are huge. Whatever. 1031's an investor in Primal. It's awesome. Like they're creating a mainstream client, and it's really cool that if you're not happy with Primal, you can just leave Primal, take your private key and move to any other fucking client you want to move to, which is the beauty of Nostr. But Milan and his team over there are like really trying to create a client, an app that people aren't like, oh, I'm doing it for the freedom. Even though they're getting freedom as a side effect. You know, they're doing it because it's just a better social media experience. And it has a Bitcoin wallet built into it. A lot of people are getting introduced to Bitcoin for the first time through Primal. And it's fucking awesome.
Yes, it is. Makes it easy to zap too, which I've been doing a ton of lately. Citrine, I mean, versions.
Every Nostr client should have a Bitcoin wallet built in.
Yes. Citrine version 0.2.0 has been released. Nostr Relay in your phone.
Horrible name.
Terrible name.
Really bad name. It even looks like this. Right? Like, use a different color scheme. Use a blue color scheme.
You can't really read, like, yeah. Nostr Relay. It's a Nostr Relay for Android, and they have a picture of an iPhone.
What the fuck is going on here? I don't know. Probably shouldn't include
Come on,
this.
Guys.
That's on me. I should.
Attention to detail. You're an Android Nostr client. Your picture is an Apple.
That is clearly an iPhone.
The typeface looks like it belongs on like a DVD box for some low budget miniseries.
Yeah, I see someone in the Nostr comments. They should have just called it Pister. Like, what the fuck's going on here, guys?
Yeah, come on. Please hit us up for naming conventions and come on. Attention to detail here. Who is this? Somebody in marketing that made this?
I don't know what's going on here. I'm glad we're covering the important news.
I mean, that's one. The name, the typeface. We can give people some grace for that, but you're literally an Android client. Your picture is an iPhone. Come on. Next. Tails version 6.1 has been released with updates and fixes. For those who are unaware, Tails is a portable operating system that protects against surveillance and censorship. So they've updated the Tor browser to 13.0.13. They've updated Thunderbird and fixed some problems as well.
And for Bitcoiners, Tails has Electrum built into it. Which is awesome. Like, if you need to recover a seed, I would love if Sparrow is built into it, but Electrum will do. Electrum will suffice. And you can just literally import any Bitcoin seed you want into Electrum on Tails. Like, your cold card breaks, any of your hardware wallets break. You can just boot up Tails. You know it's Tor only by default. And you can recover your shit.
Yeah. Shout out to Tails. Shout out to the Human Rights Foundation for launching a webinar to help nonprofits integrate Bitcoin, and also for launching the CISA, Cross Input Signature Aggregation Research Fellowship.
This is great. I think it's CISA.
CISA. CISA.
I mean, we can agree to disagree. I don't know if you don't need to actually comply with my pronunciation, but Cross Input Signature Aggregation would be awesome to see on Bitcoin. It would essentially mean that multi-party transactions would be cheaper than single-party transactions by a significant degree.
Not only cheaper, but indiscernible from a single-party transaction.
Beautiful. And so it would essentially incentivize coin joins. A coin join would be cheaper and more private on-chain, and would look fantastic to see. So this is great. This is, I like how they phrased it. They're like, look, like, we're not necessarily saying that it would be better for Bitcoin to have it, even though I will say that it would be better for Bitcoin to have it. We just want people to do more research in this regard. So they're opening up a 50 million sat grant. So half a Bitcoin grant for this. And so if you think you're willing to do a bunch of research into this proposal, does it say how to reach out? The links are in the show notes.
The links are in the show notes. And to apply, please email CISA fellowship at hrf.org.
There you go.
You have until May 15th, so a little over a month to get your application in. Do the research.
And this was because Craig Raw, the best Craig, the only Craig in Bitcoin, had a fantastic talk at Adopting Bitcoin in South Africa, in Cape Town, about why is all this talk happening about all these other Bitcoin improvements, but not CISA.
It feels like it's fallen to the wayside after a lot of attention to it when it was first.
There was a lot of promise about this during the Taproot upgrade, and then it just disappeared afterwards.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing.
It would be massive. It would destroy a lot of the chain surveillance heuristics that exist.
This is the incentives you want, right? Like, you want privacy to be cheaper than not privacy.
Yes.
That's how privacy hits mainstream, when it's cheaper and more convenient than non-privacy. We are.
On that note, shameless shill for TFTC, Aaron Daniel from the Resolver Problem wrote an incredible piece on the case of Roman Sterlingov, particularly about how the chain surveillance tools that were leveraged in a black box fashion. And he wrote a great article on TFTC about the parallels to DNA profiling back in the 80s and 90s, which proved to be completely inaccurate and led to a lot of false imprisonment. We're seeing the same thing play out with chain surveillance, black box chain surveillance tools today, particularly in the case of Roman Sterlingov. So this is very important. We've talked about this on the show over the last year. We mentioned a couple weeks ago he was convicted. And this is a terrible precedent to set. And a similar precedent was set in the 80s and 90s. And like I said, led to people going to jail who shouldn't have been in jail. And we do not want that to happen again with Bitcoin and these chain surveillance tools.
Yeah, I mean, look, if your business involves this bullshit compliance stuff, as chain analysis has led the way on, you're the baddies.
Are we the baddies? Yes, you're the baddies.
You're the baddies.
You're the baddies. That's all I got. Treasury, Bitcoin, gold divergence is happening. We're in the debt spiral. Interest payments are going parabolic on the debt. Beware. This will be Bitcoin. That's my macro talk for the week.
That was
amazing. It's like, yeah, it's happening.
Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love, freaks. Okay.